Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerd Talk Plus is a work of fiction by idiots. Nothing said within this episode should be taken as scientific fact, life advice, or even honesty. We should probably recommend against listening at all. Since you're here, no getting mad about this very dumb thing without the express written consent of Major League Centaurs.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Hey, this is Nerd Talk. Woo, yay! Brought to you by Major League Centaurs or whatever. I'm Gregor. From the wasteland of Eastern Washington, he's our Tony Pizza, but your fur daddy, he's Brandon from the internet. Right in the pocket.
Oh, gross. I don't like that.
Well,
candy.
Yeah.
Right in the candy.
Right in the candy.
He's the first person in my life to make the chaos of Florida seem actually worth it. He's our Crash Bandicoot, but your meat daddy, he may be the star of Fat Bachelor, but we call him Siege.
Hell yes. Let's definitely do Fat Bachelor.
Dude, it's the fact that you haven't already gotten it, you know, whatever you call it, like... when you send it to the network.
I've rented an inflatable hot tub. Now I have to do...
Are you my neighbor? That's awesome.
I don't know if it feels like this for you guys, but when I picture like the rolling credits or like the opening credits for Fat Bachelor, it's definitely to like old school blaxploitation funk music. Fat Bachelor!
Yeah, and then, for sure.
Like lots of horns.
My question is, how many of the guys are Down syndrome? That's the real question. Trisomy 21 for the win, everybody. Anyway, also helping us behind the scenes and then schooling us at the end, we have producer Sean Gravy Gervin with a handful of gravy. I won't even explain. None of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong, or perhaps... if we were to get something right that gets past Sean Gravy Gervin, you can tell us that too. Tell a friend, write a review, or just find us online to say sexy things about our Fat Bachelor. You can find us at nerdtalkplus.com. Siege, do we have anything new to share?
Actually, we do have a new comment.
I would like to point something out real quick before you get to it. I'm sorry to ask you a question and then step on it, but you sent us a very important text this week that we didn't give enough attention to. Commenting, now welcome... on Spotify.
As I was about to say, you can contact us on Apple Podcasts and leave 5 stars and leave a big old review. Or now you can leave a comment on every single
episode. You don't have to be a dick about it, okay?
Spotify.
You don't have to be a dick about it. You can just say, like, that's right, Greg, and then we could just keep going. But instead, yes, okay. I even apologize for interrupting. God damn it.
That's right, Greg. That's right, Greg. Don't worry. Our good friend Layla Hayworth left me a comment in our Nerd Talk Plus chat that says, let's see, I lost it. Now, you threw me all off.
No, that's terrible. My fault, obviously.
I was preparing for this show.
You are the two professional broadcasters of the four of us.
Let's not make that a stretch, all right?
Yeah.
Between us, it's about 3/4 of 1, okay? Siege.
Yeah. Possibly. Yeah. Possibly.
Well, while Siege figures out the comment, can I see this handful of gravy? Also, if I say gravy 3 times, does gravy show up in my
house? Shooting out of his nose. It's just like...
just shows up in your living room with a whole handful of gravy.
Oh, gravy juice.
3/4 hard on.
Our good friend Lila Hayworth, who did not tell me where she was from. It does not surprise me for 1 second that Siege has consumed Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew. In fact, if Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew was a person, it would be our Crash Bandicoot, Siege. Thank you, Lara. I appreciate it.
Hashtag Fat Bachelor.
Yeah. seems like a BuzzFeed quiz waiting to happen. Which Mountain Dew are you?
Guys, I called a black guy today who's an artist called Miles Smith. I called him Miles Davis in an interview, which was awesome. That was really good.
Yeah, that sounds great.
He was very funny about it, and it was okay, that's fine. But he is here from the UK, and their tour kicks off in Seattle on Wednesday. And they've been here for a couple of days. I was like, oh, you guys been rehearsing? He's like, no, we obviously rehearsed in London before we came here. And I was like, okay, obviously. But what have you been doing then with your time? And he was like, I got to tell you, we went to Target. And I was like, okay, go down to like murder Target downtown, or like, all right, cool. Cool, I guess. And he's like, yeah, yeah. And we bought so many snacks. And he's like, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm not exactly in shape, but this has not helped. Do you guys know that you have Takis? And I was like, yeah, we're aware of the, we also have hot Cheetos if you want to combine the things. He like could not get past Takis and how awesome they were, only in a very charming British accent. And I was like, you are a delight. So if there's a Taki flavored Mountain Dew, Siege, I think I've got a friend for you that I called Miles Davis.
Hell yeah.
Because I'm an
Do you think it's worse? Do you think it's worse that you called him Miles Davis, another black guy named Miles, or would it be worse if you had called him like Miles Teller, which is just a white dude named Miles? Because like you could have easily just said Miles Teller, and you'd be like, oh, it's because both of your names are Miles. But you don't really get that excuse when you call him Miles Davis.
Yeah, no.
You could have called him Miles Morales, a black kid cartoon.
First of all, I don't know who Miles Teller is, so that was not. In you know that was not a risk.
Of course you don't.
Yeah. Is he?
It's Goose's son from Top Gun 2.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't see
it's
that.
A Whiplash drummer guy.
Whiplash drummer guy.
Yeah, you know the movie. Yeah, no, of course you don't know.
He was the protagonist in whatever the hell that remake of Say Anything was in the 90s. I don't know.
He was Mr. Fantastic in the Fantastic Four movie that went nowhere.
In the second version of the first version that went nowhere.
Yeah.
The one that had Chiklis in it?
Oh, yes? Was Michael Chiklis it? Yeah.
I think so. Was he in that one?
No. He was the OG.
He was the OG
Fantastic
Also
Four,
terrible.
also terrible, yes.
Yeah, how are we feeling about... Oh, we could keep talking.
I don't know. I still don't know who that person is, nor do I know any of the references you made to the movies. So.
Okay.
Brandon and I will talk offline.
Yeah.
I mean, you can talk here. I don't got much to say. So, Grave coming through with the picture. Yeah, no, you know who he looks like? He looks like that comedian that's friends with Dan Soder. He's the guy that hosted SNL, and he was...
Shane Gillis?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like Shane Gillis. Siege, to come back to your question about the Miami Dolphins, I don't know if we talked about that on or off air, but I'm a Dolphins
off
fan
air.
Now. Okay, well, we were talking about it off air, and you're like, what brought you to the Dolphins? I was like, well, you, for one. Two, I'm friends with this guy called Dan Soder. He's a comedian that I think we're all aware of. And you should check him out. He's got specials out there. He's got, probably a Netflix. And I went to his HBO taping brag. And anyway, Dan's awesome. And his childhood friend is the head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting about that.
And so, like, the whole time I've known Dan for 20 years or whatever, the guy's always been Mountain Dews to the roof, Siege.
Hard Dew.
The whole time I've known Dan, he's always been like the, you know, assistant quarterbacks coach for the Broncos or something like that. This guy, Mike, whatever his name, Mike, maybe? I don't know.
Mike McDaniel.
And now Mike McDaniel is the head coach of the Dolphins, and he's also hilarious in press conferences. And then Miami's not a city you could take seriously for anything. So
no, he fits in perfect here.
Yeah, it's great. I absolutely love the vibe they're giving off. Even everyone's like, I decided this about 10 days ago that the Dolphins, well, I actually decided about 6 months ago, but 10 days ago I made it public and everyone was like, you know that the starting quarterback has like 10 concussions in 5 minutes and he's never gonna like walk straight again, right? I was like, nah, I don't care about that at all. I'm not here for the game. I am here for the blind allegiance. So
we're here for the vibes.
Yeah, I just want awesome times. And like for that guy, probably not awesome, but like for me, great.
Also probably like I was about to say Dolphins the only cetacean mascot, but you do have the Canucks, which have the orca. You've got Sounders who have
Sammy Sounder,
the
orca.
Yeah. So all I had to do was think about
American
it
for football
3 seconds.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any more. Now I'm like the whalers,
except that's like the opposite. That's like
whale murder.
That's
the sperm whales. No,
they throw the whale tail out of the back, and they're not even a team anymore, so it doesn't really matter.
Who, the Whalers aren't?
Yeah. They moved to Carolina and became Hurricanes.
Well, what? Oh yeah, I guess they do hit North Carolina.
All these like places that name their teams after. We've probably talked about this before, but like the teams that are like, here, let's just name ourselves after a natural disaster that destroyed us, not the thing that's going to destroy you. Earthquakes and the Chicago Fire.
Chicago Fire is the worst, though.
That one cracks me up. I like that one. I just like that they destroyed their entire city, and they're like, oh, let's just remember this as like one of the biggest. Let's hold this up as like a pillar of our foundation of our town.
Yeah.
Seattle doesn't talk about the fact that they burned down and that half of the city is like buried underneath the city. Nobody would even know that unless somebody told you that.
Let's go Seattle Denny Regrades.
The city of Six Hills. The Yokohama Grits is a beluga whale, it appears, as John Greenberg in the chat. Okay, great. Yeah. Anyway, so again, nerdtalkplus.com if you want to hop on there and say things to us, like whatever the person said about Siege, about, of course, he would be the one drinking flaming hot. You know, you're really distracting today, Siege, on the feed. You've got hair down, which I don't...
Sorry.
...have any idea where this came from. I forget that you even have long hair until this happens or whatever. So, Brandon experiencing some internet technical difficulties, but he's still looking at us as if he just smelled a fart, so that's good that he's still here.
I'm back. I have no idea if my Denny Regrade joke landed or not. Because
Yes, great.
Yeah.
No, it hit. Yeah.
As soon as that happened, you all turned into robots and I could hear nothing.
It took out half the city. Then we plowed over it.
So, guys, speaking of taking out half a city, I bought a plane ticket to Japan last night, and I've got 13 days, if you include the travel, in Japan, where I'm just abandoning my family and life, and
welcome to the club, buddy.
I really hope I die there because it'll be really poetic or whatever. Yeah, never coming back. But anyway, I'm going to Japan. So if anyone has any hot tips about anything between pretty much like Osaka, Kyoto, and Fukuoka, I'm all ears if I need to know about something. I won't be going to Tokyo. I don't understand why I do that or whatever, but Tsunami what? Seppuku says gravy in the chat. All right. So yeah, Brandon, I know you've been to Japan for like 5 minutes. I'm sure Sean did some Navy things there, probably like Gravy Navy stuff or whatever, but it's my favorite. I went there for 10 days in 2016, recording this on what would be my 8th wedding anniversary, everybody. Isn't that fun?
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. See y'all in hell. And
you know what? It's also the 98th anniversary of the last time a hurricane directly hit Miami. So, I mean,
yeah,
we've got that going for
us.
Go
Dolphins.
Lots of anniversaries today.
Yeah, let's go. Anyway, moving on.
You should make the Dolphins the mascot of your failed marriage.
Why do you go and make him sad?
We'll be right back.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sorry.
On my anniversary. Thank you, Brandon. That's...
Sorry, Greg. I was just trying to find... I couldn't find a way to connect the Dolphins
thing.
You didn't
need to. 98. It's okay.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm the worst.
All right.
I'm sorry.
No, I get it. I am upset, but... All right.
All right, so good show, fellas.
So we'll get to Guinness time later in the show, I guess. There was a new record set by humans leaving the Earth.
What? Oh, that's right.
There was 19 human meat sacks that were all in space at the same time this week, or last week, I guess it was now, because this happened on Friday that I reported this. The previous record being 17. We had 19 people in space compared to the 8 billion on Earth, which I think is exciting. I couldn't do the math on how that works, but then I realized that because of Boeing effing up, they actually get some credibility back because they were able to strand 2 people on the International Space Station, and we were able to break the record.
Hooray!
So, yeah. 3 taikonauts on the Chinese space station. I don't know what that's even called. It's probably something I can't pronounce because Chinese be hard. And, well, that's not how you say that. And then four people on a private space mission with SpaceX that did the first ever private spacewalk. Then you had nine people plus a couple more that showed up at the space at the International Space Station, bringing it to 12 temporarily. I don't know if those numbers add up, but frankly, I don't care. So yeah, congratulations. Now, this is something... Hold on, I'm getting... Some astronauts have described the smell of the ISS as a combination of... I love this. Of antiseptic, garbage, body odor, static electricity, and barbecue gone wrong. Just imagine, like, the hottest of farts, and that's what it smells like up there. And someone trying to spray it...
of the Fat Bachelor.
Someone trying to spray it into submission. Like, Lysol, hot farts. So...
How do you even spray that down? Because that's just got to keep getting refiltered and sent back to you.
So there's this book that I read to my kid a lot. It's by Brian Floca. It's called Moonshot, and it's this beautiful
Floca,
like hand sketched, colored pencil sketched book about the Apollo mission to the moon, Apollo 11, and the guy points out in there after like 7 days of three dudes and like a small bunk area, like it does not smell good. But that's not why anyone goes to space. I wouldn't say that's not why anyone goes to space, Brian Floca. I would say that there's probably someone that does it for the Cloaca. Sorry, Brian Cloaca, that does it for you. Okay, so this is interesting news from iflscience.com. Before Saturn had its own beautiful ice rings, anyone know how old those things are by chance? The ice rings around Saturn?
30 days.
Tens of millions of years old. Not that old. They think that they're brand new, and they think that because of how they're still so clean. There's no dust on the ice particles that are surrounding Saturn, and so we could see them reflecting. They think they're all made out of water ice, and they're reflecting, or mostly water ice, and it's reflecting back the sun really well, and that's why we have such a good view of them.
So are they, like, regenerating? Sorry to interrupt, but are they, like, regenerating, like, melting and then, like, refreezing, or?
No, they think that what happened was one of the moons of Saturn, it has, like, 100, I don't know how many, but something like that. One of the moons got pulled in beyond the Roche limit, which is where the compositional structure of the moon is no longer strong enough to resist the gravitation of Saturn, and so it blew it up, and it was, they thought it was probably made of pure water ice, and so then it distributed it over the course of like a day or two. The rings developed as it got, the thing spins quickly enough that it formed that. And then there's all these little other moons that are in there that are far enough away that they pull the ice back out, and so they maintain the rings. But it's something like 10,000 kilograms of water ice falls to the surface of Saturn every minute or something like that. So in another 10 million years there won't be rings again. Unless it were to happen again. But that's not where things get interesting. Earth scientists think that Earth had its own ring system. Like, you would, like, look up at the sky and see, like, a belt of cool rock stuff out there.
Nice.
I think the way that they came up with it was pretty rad. This would be back, like, way before the collapse of the dinosaurs. This is, like, 400 million years ago. There was life on the planet, but it was not, like, Tyrannosauruses or whatever. The way that they determine this is, like, I never really thought about this, but if you look at the equator of the Earth, which is, like, generally speaking, the belt of the Earth, if you look at that, there's, like, very little land there. It's mostly water. A majority of the land masses have moved north or south. And so where the equator actually happens is very little land compared to the rest of the planet. They found such a high concentration of pockmarks from asteroids within, like, 30 degrees of center that they're like, there's no explanation for how they kept hitting like this unless they came in on the ecliptic all the time, which likely says that there was a ring around Earth, and as it collapsed, it might have been brief or whatever, but as it collapsed, we kept getting hit in the same similar spots in this, like, small band around it or whatever, which I think is fan-freaking-tastic. So
that's pretty freaking cool. And so that must have happened post-Pangea for that to have happened.
Like, or it happened and we've spread out since. They talk about it a little bit with, like, Laurentia and, like, these and the different masses that are there. But I'm sure they can actually see where they've traveled to be like, oh, this used to be on the
belt true, because you did say, like, within so many degrees of the actual...
Yeah, the continental shift has been this much in the last... It's 466 million years ago, I think, is what they're projecting. Now, like... I'm not familiar with the university that said it, but also, like, if you're an accredited university, I give you props on this. And that's, like, I could follow university the math a little bit on this. It's, like, Mawashi University or something like that. I can't remember what it is, but fat guy university with a sweaty sumo belt on.
Oh, I've been there.
Centralized within 30 degrees of the equator. Yeah, and so... the thing that we might have that must have looked so cool if you were like a stupid dinosaur looking up at the sky for some reason.
If you think about that, that's actually like the degrees of the tropics, like Tropic of Cancer, Tropic of Capricorn. Aren't those only 26 degrees from the equator? That's the full tropics.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy to think about. Sorry, that's just very interesting. I really love that.
So,
that's a great fact. Thank you.
I went to see a band called The Ocean play in Chicago a few weeks ago, and they one of their songs is talking about, like, they sing all about the different, like, epochs of Earth, not even humans or whatever, just but like the Great Dying and all the Permian and all that stuff. And like one of the things they talk about is like the drift and frozen seas between Gondwana and Laurasia, the two major continents that split up during the separation of Pangaea. And like, I think I would probably only like this band if I didn't read what they were writing about. But then when I like read that they're like actually into the geological eras of Earth, man, I think that's super cool to do that. So pretty neat.
Have they written anything about the future Pangaea? Because I swear to God, I just read it like a couple weeks ago that, thank you, Gravy, that the tropics are 23 degrees.
Is it 26? That's really close.
Yeah, it was a guess. I think where I live is like 26, so I'm not sure. Close enough. I think I read an article just like a couple weeks ago about how if the drift continues that we're on, we're going to come back in like another Pangaea. I know this is millions of years down the road, but the continents will come back together in like opposite Pangaea, like where the east coast of the United States and South America lined up with Africa and Europe. Like if we continue drifting, we'll somehow close the gap on the Pacific
because
Ocean.
It's round.
And
so you like,
yeah.
The way it's separated, it'll come back together on the other side, right? That's the idea.
Yeah.
Hot take.
Pangaea Proxima. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Sorry about my unfounded claims of the globular status of the Earth. speaking of shapes, this is pretty cool. We're all big kids here. I know that we might not act like it or whatever, but we know our shapes. If I show you three sides, you guys know it's a triangle, and I won't hear your smart ass like, grr. But it turns out that like these shapes, like a hexagon, an octagon, or a stop sign shape, or whatever, these things are not commonly found existing in nature. And there's something that we've done to help figure out. Like you don't have hard edges in nature, you know. Everything it tends to round itself out. And like vacuum is the enemy of nature. Like it's gonna fill stuff in or pull it apart to expose it. And so when you have hard edge shapes and you start pushing them together, they start to warp and then you get like rounded edges and stuff like that. So they think that we need to have a new shape outside of the traditional, what do you call it? Like you have a cube and a pyramid and there's like a name for
the cone, the sphere,
but like there's a name for the like traditional shapes that are, they're like the simple shapes in three dimensional form. I can't remember what that
I keep thinking is. Primary colors, so I don't
it's
know
probably primary, like primary colors. Yeah.
primary smells,
but there's like it's in Rubik's cubing is my reference to it, is that there's all these different shapes of cubes, and so there's all the basic different shapes that you can have, a 12-sided die or like dice in D&D or whatever. They all fit into like a certain shape schema, and so they
polyforms.
Okay, that's not the word I'm thinking of, but I appreciate that that's the same idea.
Tetrahedron.
I think that's one of the shapes. I think being
Brandon's here.
Yay,
he's back, everybody. So the scientists are arguing that there needs to be a new shape, and they like the argument. It's hard to like describe without actually seeing the shapes themselves, but like you don't have these hard edge shapes. They almost never appear. Even circles, when you squish them together, stoichiometry, says Brandon. Now you can just say it into the mic, Brandon. It's okay.
I didn't want to interrupt.
Even circles, when you squish them, you get a like it like there's if you if you take a piece of paper and you cut a circle out, there's all the edges that are left over. And so if you put two circles together, there's like the triangles in between, and it doesn't work. Like, you can't cut a bunch of circles together and make a soccer ball. You need the in-between shapes too, or whatever. And so like these things don't quite exist, but then scientists are starting to realize that there's what they're calling a soft cell, and not the tainted love artist, but it's a soft cell. And if you think about, the easiest way to describe it is if you look at a flower petal, it goes to a point with some curvature, and then it expands to something flatter or more expansive. And so you get one end is like a feather. You get like a part where it pokes in and then where it expands out. You see
it's like a spine, and then it comes off of that.
Yeah, sort of. Like you see it in like if you were to cut open a, what are the abalone shell or something like that, or a snail shell. You see there's all the different chambers that all stack up circularly to make the... that shape, that it can be compact and strong at the same time, and it grows in, what's it called when you have something that's like a repeating shape? Fractal. It can grow like a fractal, yes, sort of, where it continues to grow out. For. A nautilus, for instance, as Gravy says. So this is the new shape that we need to, as engineers, as people looking to expand the species, rather than trying to understand how to make the perfect thing out of hexagons or whatever, we need to figure out how to make naturally stacking soft cells. I don't really have any jokes about this or whatever, but I just think it's fascinating.
It feels like scientists have just now discovered that there's negative space in between the hard-edged shapes that we've come up with for so many years.
Well, yeah, and you look at a flower and it's like a circle. Like, it's like, oh, that sunflower is a circle shape. But really, it's a bunch of different shit squished together to make this circular shape or whatever. And like, yeah, I guess it's obvious or whatever that other shapes make shapes or whatever, but it's not like you're putting a bunch of octagons together to make a flower. Even like the numerology and stuff, even like the Fibonacci sequence, as you grow it out, it doesn't fit together in like happy angular pieces or whatever.
You couldn't put a bunch of them together to form a ball.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, yeah, you have to like...
We should just get that John Paul's Balls guy.
Is that the guy who makes all the weird soccer balls?
Yeah.
God,
yeah,
I love that guy.
Should just fix everything.
Describe it.
He's a guy that just makes soccer balls out of stuff, bunch of different stuff, and out of different shapes and stuff. And he'll just say, like, he'll pick something like a famous soccer shoe or something, and he'll say, I'm going to make a soccer ball out of this, but I want
it
to look like this.
He made the S thing.
He made one out of the cool S, the Stussy S, as some call it. He made one that like was the tectonic plates of the world with the actual land masses on top of them. Like fit into the tectonic plates along with latitudinal and longitudinal.
So he cuts up all these pieces and then he stitches them together to make a ball, and he puts a bladder inside of it to fill it up so he can actually kick it around.
And he hand stitches it all. It's anyway, but like to your point, like he finds, I mean, it's not exactly the same, but he finds that not negative space, but he has to create it in a way, because the way that it all comes together in a sphere has to fit perfectly, because it's also, it's rounding itself out, right, on that same plane, I guess, or on that same surface. So the way that the length of that side changes, it gets elongated just slightly because of the curvature, right? So like that, but it feels like, doesn't it just feel like something that they could just say, hey, I want to make this, give it to AI, and AI will spit it out and tell you exactly what.
But then
to make,
you're not engaging. Then he doesn't have a page to monetize.
No, not him. I'm talking about like scientists who are like, we need to use more shapes for building stuff. Like, couldn't they just, the problem's got to be just money, right? Like, it's so much easier to make squares out of metal and wood than it is to make weird rhombuses and
geometries. Even when it comes to the beginning of video games, like that's how they used to do it. I remember when it was such a big deal when PlayStation first came out, because they were using just hexagons. All their games were built on hexagons. Even if you think about Crash Bandicoot, my Lord and Savior.
Which I do all the time, obviously.
he was, I believe, like the big thing was when they first designed him, he was built out of like 512 hexagons. And that's how they built him 3D. And that's how they made it. And like the whole thing was, they were able to make him with no neck, so they didn't have to twist the geometry of the back or the chest or any of the colors or anything like that.
OG Fat Bachelor.
Yeah. OG Fat Bachelor. Fat Neck Bachelor.
That's when he was svelte, though, man. Jeez.
Yeah, no, he was like skinny in the waist and like jacked up top. He was shaped like a V. Oh,
that is crazy. There is a dude I know that is built just like Crash Bandicoot.
It's Siege.
It's Siege.
He's right there. On a traditional soccer ball, the white patches with the black patches on it or whatever, it's
32 panels.
But it's pentagons and
12 pentagons and
how many hexagons?
16 hexagons or something like that.
Yeah,
or 22 like hexagons or something.
Are the black ones the
black ones are the
black
pentagons.
Ones are pentagons.
Okay, yeah. So even there, so you have to
12. There's 12 of those.
Even there, you have to adapt 20. To it. I think you make a good point, Brandon. I think it's interesting that like we'll be thinking about how like AI will be able to run the tests on this. This could be a good place for it. Like we'll get new types of designs and shapes and stuff because AI will be able to crunch the numbers faster than we can to be able to say like no, make the wings out of the airplane out of a structure of soft cells, not out of hollow tubes or whatever, the way that we fill in space or the way that we create strength. AI will be able to test and eliminate that from the test because we can give it simple parameters. If we ask it how to govern or other heady things like that, it might not be quite as adept at that for understanding human personality. But if you're like, make a strongest wing, that might be it.
Do you think, like, depending on the engineer who types in the request to make a strong wing, it's like, okay, Dave goes in one day and types it in, and all of a sudden the wing has a bunch of boobs inside of it.
Love Dave.
Dave's great.
Yeah. Dave loves boobs.
Soft cell boobs. It's like, man, yes. These things are fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good point, though, because, like, the places where AI is really killing it right now is, like, drug compounds. Not for, like, fentanyl replacement, but for saving people from cancer or whatever. That's where it's... Because they can do the calculations. They can test it against what would happen in cells, theoretically, without having to actually do any testing in the labs. And then you could test it on monkeys and stuff like that before giving it to the people, which is probably probably projecting us way further into the future than we know. And then we're going to have a bunch of rich old white guys that live forever on the blood of... stolen blood of immigrants. Can't wait.
Yeah, that'll be so much easier to obtain, though, once the East Coast and Africa and Europe are all pushed together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pangea paradox.
Over here on the West Coast, we're going to be paying a premium for that Pangea Proxima blood.
Where does Japan end up in all this? Because that's where I intend to...
I feel like the furthest right away from us, probably.
No.
Oh,
no.
Or does it come down?
Yeah, we're going back around, like where it was connected, yeah. Africa and the East Coast. Now we're coming back around. So Japan's probably gonna end up right next to San Francisco. Godzilla's only gonna have a one stop shop.
Oh, dude, they're gonna bump butts together. It's gonna be awesome.
Nice.
Can't wait. China, bring it on. I'm ready to bump some butts. We're sending Godzilla there. Watch out.
I'm here
None
for
of the
it.
Countries we're talking about are going to exist by the time this thing happens.
None of the people here are going to exist. Yeah, or people in general, for that matter.
The people in general.
I might be here.
You might.
Yeah.
Dude, you got to find you some of the proto molecule and then you might last. Anyway, everyone read the Expanse. It's the best. Sean and I know. Okay. Okay, I took a note of Pangea Proxima because that could be a title for this show this week, I think. I don't... whatever. All right, what else do we got here? There's a competitor to Neuralink from... The Neuralink is a brain implant that Elon Musk's company is called Neuralink, and he's making brain implants to help people with disabilities be able to live normal lives. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not like connect human brains to machines. That's not what it's for. It's for helping people.
Westworld season 3.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, someone made another company that does that, only their brain implant. Hold on. I got to hit a button real quick over here. Boop. Their brain implant will let you connect your brain to Alexa.
Ooh.
So.
This is... terrible.
Why do I keep getting so much cat litter and lube in the from Amazon all the time? This is so weird.
Why is so much boobs in this wing?
Yeah, well, Dave!
Dave!
So
you're like, Alexa, and it's just Dave. He's just like, just, yeah,
I'm Dave.
Hold on, I'm in here.
Occupado.
Hear Dave's voice in your head. Yeah, occupado. Come back in a minute, buddy.
Alexa, set a timer for 15 minutes. Occupado.
You come back, all the lube's still there, but the cat litter's gone.
He's not hungry, at least. That's good. Now, it's like, I think about this, like, when I think of the robot dogs, where everyone's like, well, look at that robot dog. It can open a door. And, like, all of us on the show were like, and you could strap a gun to it, and it could shoot immigrants. Like, that's, like, where we immediately take it. Like, the someone's going to use this for evil. Like, certainly, if it's not for military evil, it's like, oops, we had a hack, and now all of Nestle has access to your brain chip. And like,
yeah.
I mean, of all of the companies that could have access to my brain chip, I feel like Nestle.
I picked a favorite.
Nestle's probably not that bad.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, I know they're massive, and they're not just the chocolate bars that I
Topo Chico hard seltzer. Guys, I drank like 100 of these things, and I am not hard. It is very strange. Okay, I'm sorry.
I've only drank one can of Hard Dew, and I am.
Is that Hard Mountain Dew? Are you actually drinking? Or are you just drinking regular Mountain Dew?
Oh, that's why they call it hard water in Spokane. I get it now.
We must repopulate. Yeah. So anyway, it feels like a terrible idea to connect brains. Like, the guy who's playing Pokemon Go with his brain, I'm sure, loves it or whatever, but the guy who's getting like vote for the evil dictator in his head via the return feed, probably not so great.
Who's selling ads on that?
No one yet.
I saw today for the first time like an Instagram ad for some, I wouldn't call them like augmented reality glasses, but they're like almost like heads-up display that you get on your car, or like on some cars have that heads-up display where it'll show like a little projection of the speed.
I've got it in the Lexus that I'm driving from Lexus of Tacoma. Free plug. Shout
out. Nice.
It seems like such a sweet...
Dude, it integrates to my... I use Apple Maps now because with CarPlay, it integrates to that. So it gives me on-window directions. It'll be like, hey, you got to... In a quarter mile, you got to turn right here. And I'm like, yeah, I'll use Apple Maps
that is
all day for this.
So sick.
Yeah, it's sick.
I mean, these glasses that I saw, I think they're called like the G1 or something like that glasses. They're the first ones that I've seen that didn't look super dorky like the rest of the,
yeah.
I mean, even though like a lot of them are going for like augmented reality or for much more like comprehensive, more features, I suppose. These ones are literally just like, hey, you can read your text messages and respond. You can take notes really quickly. You can
Terminator style. It's just like just enough information on the screen
awesome.
To like
yeah.
not.
And they do it in a way, like it does it in a way that it's they do it in like a really light green, not like you can see it, but it's not an offensive to your eyes if it's
Apple
there.
Like
old school DOS.
Exactly. That's what it looks like without the black background. And so you can, and they do it on prescription glasses too. And I was like looking at these things, and I was like, this is the first time I've seen this where I've been like, that doesn't look like it would totally suck compared to the red. Like, I'm sure that like this is just the old guy in me. That's just like, you know, we adopted like wearable tech so quickly, like Apple Watches and smartwatches and all that kind of stuff so quickly, versus our, you know, kids and their kids are going to adopt things like the brain chip and the, you know, the glasses with augmented reality or heads up display or stuff like that way quicker than probably we will. I was convinced, but then I like looked at it, it's like $600, which I guess you could just get like a regular pair of prescription glasses sometimes cost that much, unless you go to a cheap place like me. But
true,
yeah. Well,
it seemed pretty cool.
I think that it's like,
I'll look it up. I see what I find.
I think Gravy just sent a text about it, so to the chat or whatever.
Yeah.
Japan has a set of glasses that they're working on. I don't have the details in front of me, but I'm paraphrasing. But they have a set of glasses that will automatically adjust the what you're looking at. It'll like they're like bifocals that are computerized. And so whatever you look at, it automatically can detect where you're looking and then sharpen whatever you're looking at. So if you're looking in the distance while you're driving, then you look down to read and you need bifocals, it can immediately pick up on the fact that you're switching focal lengths.
It's, it's like an autofocus on a camera.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's exactly right. Only you look like... kind of like we've got Jordy LaForge at home, you know, like you've got like a
nice
it's not sleek or sexy, it looks like it's cumbersome and Jordy LaForge at home, as I say.
Yeah, I think like the thing with these G1 glasses that you have to be okay looking like a Brooklyn hipster all of the time if you want to wear them.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
I feel like it. They look like the glasses that I wear currently. So.
I was gonna say mustache, gold chain, glasses.
Okay.
No, leave it out. I love it.
Speaking of getting old and letting technology or technology adaptation that you were mentioning there, Brandon. I feel like Apple is on to their population aging. I don't know if it's like kids don't give a crap about the same things that they're not as impressed.
I know exactly where you're going
or whatever. But they have like fall detection built into it now, and like heart rate monitoring, and like then you could press the button that like makes your phone chime because you can't find it even though it's like charging next to you on the couch or whatever, and you're like,
I use that feature so much.
So much, dude. And it's always right next to me. It's like under my ass, and I'm like,
let's ping my phone. Oh God, yeah. It's right there.
Their next feature that they're adding to their next round of smartwatches, they just got FDA approved for sleep apnea detection.
Hell yeah.
And look, I realize anyone can have sleep apnea, and I know it affects people more as we age and as we get out of shape and we become a little more overweight or whatever. That makes sleep apnea worse. But it can feel like kids can have sleep apnea, but I feel like they're targeting me. I feel like they're like, hey, dummy.
I think aren't they also like the next edition of AirPods are supposed to have like hearing, like they're waiting for FDA approval to have like
AirPods
the hearing
Pro
aid.
2.
I think that's
used as hearing aids.
I think that is legitimately one of the coolest things that Apple has done in the last 10 years. Yeah. Like we've been,
I agree.
We're all like the Apple Watch was cool. I get it. There's like the AirPods is like a rad design, and the fact that nobody has plugged in headphones anymore on anything is blows my mind. If you see it, you're like, whoa, look at you. I don't even think like, are you poor? I'm like, wow, look at you, like really holding out or whatever. I don't.
Aaron Rodgers still has the cords, which is ridiculous.
Well, he
that makes sense. I feel like
it does. It does make sense for him.
He's the worst. But also, if I don't actually judge people for being poor. I don't have any money either. So that's
Aaron Rodgers isn't poor. He's okay.
Yeah, he's
I'm poor. I'll judge you.
Yeah, he's yeah. But anyway, it's like it's wild to see them in the wild or whatever. And so I think that that's one of the legitimately most useful things that they could have is to the fact that now hearing aids are over the counter, like that whatever legislation happened in the last year that made that possible is amazing. And the fact that they're going to be in your ear pods is so cool, especially because then I won't get pulled over for having headphones in while driving because other people I'm just trying to listen to James Holden and when my texts pop up. Okay. I'm not distracted.
Can you get pulled over for that? Oh, having your AirPods in, you get pulled over for
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. You can't have any headphones when you're driving.
Oh, I feel like the reason oh my God.
I like always have, I always have the inside of the car one on and not the outside. So if they pull up, I like at least look like I can hear the car.
I always have my, cause I just don't know if it's the sound quality of when I'm listening to things on, or if I'm like on the phone while I'm driving, which happens a lot. It's like, I would much rather be able to hear clearly than listen to over all the road noise and whatever else is going on. I'm embarrassed to admit that I had no idea that was not allowed. I thought that they would want that. I thought they would want you to have like,
that's the
a
big
safety
argument.
Thing. Yeah. So you can hear sirens and crashes and
but
all
also,
sorts of stuff going
you're
on.
You're not allowed to hold your phone, and so you're supposed to go hands-free. And so if you wear a Bluetooth device, that's one thing. They just don't want you bumping, you know, Metallica while you're with Europe. They just don't want you listening to full-on music while you're like have two headphones in and you can't hear what's going on around you or whatever. So
But in that nice new Lexus where you got the CarPlay and everything, I'm sure it sounds excellent in there, even without the AirPods.
You know what the thing is, though, is that the handoff between, this is Apple's fault, not Lexus. Lexus is wonderful. Thank you for sponsoring us. The problem is that Apple's handoff between getting in the car and kicking it over to the stereo and taking it out of my ears to put it on the stereo drives me crazy, because literally only half the time does it land. And then I have to like dig into the menus while I'm driving to get it to start playing again. That's annoying or whatever.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want it in my ear, like a phone call and stuff like that. I don't want it on speakerphone because it sounds crazy bad a lot of the times. I like if I have it set to read my text to me to have that in my ear, not over the whole thing. And then when I pull up to the school parking lot and I'm listening to about how, you know, they're shooting people in the throat and the esophagus bursts open and the last attempt at words came out more as a gurgling. I'm like, yeah, that's not what we need in line for pickup at elementary school. That's not the thing. And I don't think about it because it just sounds good and I'm just rolling and it's too loud and whatever. And so, you know, you're parked next to the person who is listening too loud and you're like, oh my God, dude.
I feel like there's probably already a German word for the scenario that you described about the handoff of your headphones or whatever device you're using and your car, and how, like, if you're on a phone, like, while you're on a phone call, you're like on a phone call with somebody and you're like, every time anybody's getting in the car, it's just like, okay, I'll wait for you to figure that stuff out on the other end with your devices, and then wait for it to transfer from your phone to your car, and then for you to transfer it back to your phone because you actually wanted it on your phone and not to transfer over to your car when you did it.
Gravy makes a good point.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, what else do we got here? There's a competitor to Neuralink from the Neuralink. Ooh. Is a brain implant that Elon Musk's company is called Neuralink, and he's making brain implants to help people with disabilities be able to live normal lives. Okay, not like connect human brains to machines. That's not what it's for. It's for helping people.
Westworld season 3.
Yeah, all right, okay. Well, someone made another company that does that, only their brain implant. Hold on, I got to hit a button real quick over here. Boop. Their brain implant will let you connect your brain to Alexa.
Ooh.
So.
This is terrible.
Why do I keep getting so much cat litter and lube in the from Amazon all the time? This is so weird.
Why is so much boobs in this window?
Yeah, well, Dave?
Dave?
So
you're like Alexa, and it's just Dave. He's just like, just, yeah,
I'm Dave.
Hold
now.
On, I'm in here.
Occupado.
You're Dave's voice in your head. Yeah, occupado. Come back in a minute, buddy.
Alexa, set a timer for 15 minutes. Occupado.
You come back, all the lube's still there, but the cat litter's gone.
He's not hungry, at least that's good. Now, it's like, I think about this, like, when I think of the robot dogs, where everyone's like, well, look, that robot dog, it can open a door, and, like, all of us on the show were like, and you could strap a gun to it, and it could shoot immigrants. Like, that's, like, where we immediately take it, like, the, someone's gonna use this for evil. Like, certainly, if it's not for military evil, it's like, oops, we had a hack, and now all of Nestle has access to your brain chip. And like,
yeah.
I mean, of all of the companies that could have access to my brain chip, I feel like Nestle.
I picked a favorite.
Nestle's probably not that bad.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, I know they're massive, and they're not just the chocolate bars that I
Topo Chico hard seltzer. Guys, I drank like 100 of these things, and I am not hard. It is very strange. I'm sorry.
I've only drank one can of hard dew, and I am.
Is that hard Mountain Dew? Are you actually drinking? Or are you just drinking regular Mountain Dew?
Oh, that's why they call it hard water in Spokane. I get it now.
We must repopulate. Yeah. So anyway, it feels like a terrible idea to connect brains. Like, the guy who's playing Pokemon Go with his brain, I'm sure loves it or whatever. But the guy who's getting, like, vote for the evil dictator in his head via the return feed, probably not so great.
Who's selling ads on that?
No one yet.
I saw today for the first time, an Instagram ad for some, I wouldn't call them like augmented reality glasses, but they're like almost like heads up display that you get on your car, or like on some cars have heads up display where it'll show like a little projection of the speed.
I've got it in the Lexus that I'm driving, from Lexus of Tacoma. Free plug. Shout
out. Nice.
It seems like such a sweet...
Dude, it integrates to my... I use Apple Maps now because with CarPlay, it integrates to that. So it gives me on-window directions. It'll be like, hey, you got to... In a quarter mile, you got to turn right here. And I'm like, yeah, I'll use Apple Maps
that is
all day for this.
So sick.
Yeah, it's sick.
Yeah, I mean, these... Basically, it's that. These glasses that I saw, I think they're called like the G1 or something like that glasses. They're the first ones that I've seen that didn't look super dorky like the rest of the...
Yeah.
I mean, even though like a lot of them are going for like augmented reality or for much more like comprehensive, more features, I suppose. These ones are literally just like, hey, you can read your text messages and respond. You can take notes really quickly. You can...
Terminator style. It's just like just enough information on the screen
awesome.
To like
yeah.
not...
And they do it in a way, like it does it in a way that it's they do it in like a really light green, not like you can see it, but it's not an offensive to your eyes if it's
Apple
there.
Apple
II-style. Old school DOS.
Exactly. That's what it looks like without the black background. And so you can, and they do it on prescription glasses too. And I was like looking at these things, I was like, this is the first time I've seen this where I've been like, that doesn't look like it would totally suck compared to the red. Like, I don't, I'm sure that like this is just the old guy in me that's just like, you know, we adopted like wearable tech so quickly, like Apple Watches and smartwatches and all that kind of stuff so quickly, versus our, you know, kids and their kids are going to adopt things like the brain chip and the, you know, the glasses with augmented reality or heads-up display or stuff like that way quicker than probably we will. But I was convinced, but then I like looked at it, it's like $600, which I guess you could just get like a regular pair of prescription glasses sometimes cost that much, unless you go to a cheap place like me. But
true,
yeah. Well,
it seemed pretty cool.
I think that it's like,
I'll look it up. I'll see what I find.
I think Gravy just sent a text about it, so to the chat or whatever.
Yeah,
Japan has a set of glasses that they're working on. I don't have the details in front of me, but I'm paraphrasing. But they have a set of glasses that will automatically adjust the what you're looking at. It'll like. They're like bifocals that are computerized. And so whatever you look at, it automatically can detect where you're looking and then sharpen whatever you're looking at. So if you're looking in the distance while you're driving, then you look down to read and you need bifocals, it can immediately pick up on the fact that you're switching focal lengths.
It's, it's like an autofocus on a camera.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
It's exactly right. Only you look like, kind of like we've got Jordy LaForge at home, you know, like you've got like a...
Nice.
It's not sleek or sexy. It looks like it's cumbersome and Jordy LaForge at home, as I say.
Yeah, I think like the thing with these G1 glasses that you have to be okay looking like a Brooklyn hipster all of the time if you want to wear them.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I feel like they look like the glasses that I wear currently. So
I was going to say mustache gold chain glasses.
Okay.
No, leave it out. I love it.
Speaking of getting old and letting technology or technology adaptation that you were mentioning there, Brandon, I feel like Apple is on to their population aging. I don't know if it's like kids don't give a crap about the same things, that they're not as impressed.
I know exactly where you're going.
Or whatever. But they have like fall detection built into it now, and like heart rate monitoring, and like then you could press the button that like makes your phone chime because you can't find it even though it's like charging next to you on the couch or whatever, and you're like,
I use that feature so much.
So much, dude. And it's always right next to me. It's like under my ass, and I'm like,
let's ping my phone. Oh God, yeah. It's right there.
Their next feature that they're adding to their next round of smartwatches, they just got FDA approved for sleep apnea detection.
Hell yeah.
And look, I realize anyone can have sleep apnea, and I know it affects people more as we age and as we get out of shape and we become a little more overweight or whatever, that makes sleep apnea worse. But I can still, like, kids can have sleep apnea, but I feel like they're targeting me. I feel like they're like, hey, dummy.
I think, aren't they also like the next edition of AirPods are supposed to have like hearing, like,
yep.
They're waiting for FDA approval to have like
AirPods
the hearing
Pro
aid.
2.
I think,
yep,
that's
yeah. used as hearing aids.
I think that is legitimately one of the coolest things that Apple has done in the last 10 years. Yeah. Like, we've been,
I agree.
We're all like, the Apple Watch was cool. I get it. There's like, the AirPods is like a rad design, and the fact that nobody has plugged in headphones anymore on anything is blows my mind. If you see it, you're like, whoa, look at you. I don't even think, like, are you poor? I'm like, wow, look at you, like, really holding out or whatever. I don't.
Aaron Rodgers still has the cords, which is ridiculous.
Well, he
that makes sense. I feel like
it does. It does, yeah, make sense for him.
He's the worst. But also, if I don't actually judge people for being poor. I don't have any money either. So that's
Aaron Rodgers isn't poor. He's okay.
Yeah, he's
I'm poor. I'll judge you.
Yeah, he's yeah. But anyway, it's like it's wild to see them in the wild or whatever. And so I think that that's one of the legitimately most useful things that they could have is to the fact that now hearing aids are over the counter. Like that, whatever legislation happened in the last year that made that possible is amazing. And the fact that they're going to be in your ear pods is so cool, especially because then I won't get pulled over for having headphones in while driving because other people. I'm just trying to listen to James Holden and when my texts pop up. Okay, I'm not distracted.
Can you get pulled over for that? Oh, having your AirPods in, you get pulled over for
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely, you can't have any headphones when you're driving.
Oh, I feel like the reason oh my god.
I always have the inside of the car one on and yeah. not the outside, so if they pull up, I like at least look like I can hear the car.
I always have my, because I just don't know if it's the sound quality of when I'm listening to things on, or if I'm like on the phone while I'm driving, yeah. which happens a lot. It's like I would much rather be able to hear clearly than listen to all the road noise and whatever else is going on. I'm embarrassed to admit that I had no idea that was not allowed. I thought that they would want that. I thought they would want you to have like
that's the big
safety
argument.
Thing. Yeah, so you can hear sirens and. Crashes and
but
all
also,
sorts of stuff going on.
You're not allowed to hold your phone, and so you're supposed to go hands-free. And so if you wear a Bluetooth device, that's one thing. They just don't want you bumping, you know, Metallica while you're with Europe. They just don't want you listening to full-on music while you're like have two yeah. headphones and you can't hear what's going on around you or whatever. So,
But in that nice new Lexus where you got the CarPlay and everything, I'm sure it sounds excellent in there, even without the AirPods.
You know what the thing is, though, is that the handoff between, this is Apple's fault, not Lexus. Lexus is wonderful. Thank you for sponsoring us. The problem is that Apple's handoff between getting in the car and kicking it over to the stereo and taking it out of my ears to put it on the stereo drives me crazy because literally only half the time does it land. And then I have to like dig into the menus while I'm driving to get it to start playing again. That's annoying or whatever.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want it in my ear, like a phone call and stuff like that. I don't want it on speakerphone because it sounds crazy bad a lot of the times. I like if I have it set to read my text to me to have that in my ear, not over the whole thing. And then when I pull up to the school parking lot and I'm listening to about how, you know, they're shooting people in the throat and the esophagus bursts open and the last attempt at words came out more as a gurgling. I'm like, yeah, that's not what we need in line for pickup at elementary school. That's not the thing. And I don't think about it because it just sounds good and I'm just rolling and it's too loud and whatever. And so, you know, you're parked next to the person who is listening too loud and you're like, oh my God, dude.
I feel like there's probably already a German word for the scenario that you described about the handoff of your headphones or whatever device you're using and your car and how, like, if you're on a phone, like, while you're on a phone call, you're like on a phone call with somebody and you're like, every time anybody's getting in the car, it's just like, okay, I'll wait for you to figure that stuff out on the other end with your devices and then wait for it to transfer from your phone to your car and then for you to transfer it back to your phone because you actually wanted it on your phone and not to transfer over to your car when you did it.
Gravy makes a good point on here. Like, first of all, I'm looking at the pictures of the glasses. They look amazing. I would definitely wear these. I love a round-shaped glasses cool. like this. I was always told that they some people have told me they don't fit my face well, but I love the look of them. And so to see these, they're called next-gen smart glasses with display. What are the Even Realities? Is that what it is? .com, if you want to read about it. But his point G1. About the auto-translate headphones, they're right there. I feel like it's like getting close to being real time.
Those glasses, that's one of those features of those glasses is they will translate in real time other language. I don't know how that helps you if they're not wearing the glasses. Also, how do you communicate back to them unless you say it, your English version into it? I don't know. Like,
take the glasses off of you, put it on them, and then say.
No. Trust me. And also, Gregor, I think that if you put on the round glasses, what was that? There was that a movie that you probably haven't seen. Is an animated movie. It was about these two brothers, and they went on like a conquest to find the treasure. And the lady, the cartoon lady from it, was super hot. She was like an indigenous lady that they discovered.
I love all of this so far.
Me too.
What was it? I'm going to find the title of this movie because it's one that I've seen. Oh, his name was Milo from Atlantis. The movie called Atlantis is Milo James Thatch. And I think with the hair that you have right now, wearing the round glasses, you would look like this guy.
You would look scholarly.
Verschlimmbesserung is a German noun word for the attempted improvement that only makes things worse. Thank you, Gravy. Boy, I hate this guy.
Oh, no. Well, he's a thirst trap for millennials of my era. Millennial nerd women of my era.
Back in!
And he wears a tank top, too, man. He's on my good side.
Wow. I'm getting all this haircut tomorrow, man. It's going to be new era. I always like trim it at the end of the summer. I get a short haircut for some reason. I don't know what my problem is, but yeah. Anyway, okay.
That guy was a thirst trap?
I think like basically the women, the girls now who are on Book Talk.
Yeah, I love that.
That kind of culture, but for like before TikTok, like the women who would have been on Book Talk when they were my age,
the love interest in it is definitely why I should look like. Should I go to my hairstylist tomorrow? Taylor, make me look exactly like this guy because this is who I'm out hunting.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. That girl, that lady is a thirst trap for all men of my era.
Oh boy. All right.
Who was your first cartoon crush?
Oh, I figured out who. Like, I never know.
Oh, the chick from the Goofy movie?
Max Goof. He gets in the way and he steps up and is like...
Roxanne. Roxanne from the Goofy movie.
That's incredible. April O'Neil?
I'll see you down at Slightly Furry later.
April O'Neil?
That might have been mine.
You know what? That should be our question of the week.
Who's your first...
Who was your first cartoon crush?
Yeah, I like that. I just this week... You know how people ask, like, they ask questions about who was your, what was your, see, just in it, obviously we know. But, like, people ask me, what's your favorite band? And I finally just decided on a band because I was like, I just have to have an answer so people can leave me alone or whatever. I never know what my favorite anything. What's your favorite food? Pizza, I guess. I don't actually care, but okay. What's my type when it comes to sexy actresses? Not some, like, someone who is literally my own age, I think. Zoe Saldana that's my celebrity. Who's your pass? Sometimes they say or whatever. That's who my pass is. She came up. What ad block? What no? Sorry. It's like we can't.
Getting blocked.
We're gonna stop you right here.
Are we on the company computer?
We're gonna just that's enough of that, loser. Okay, well, good. Okay, well, that brings us to a really magical time of the show. It's Guinness time. Most number of people ever in space? 19. There we go.
Love it.
Brandon, this one comes from the world of Brandon's. This is the greatest distance cycled with no hands.
Whoa.
As in you don't have any hands, or are you just not using them to steer?
You don't use them. You
okay.
You can have them. You don't
I just
have
want to clarify.
To have them.
Can you not have them?
Absolutely, you cannot have hands and do this.
Okay.
If it was not have them, then I think it would be forever.
Like I've not had hands this whole time.
I've been riding a bike since I was five with no hands.
You're also talking to a penguin?
Yeah.
How do you ride the bike? That's so weird. Anyway.
The answer is going to be somebody listening to that one song by the Flowbots in 2008.
Oh my God.
I regret asking this question.
Actually, when did that song come out?
It's 2004 because they played at KFMA.
2005, pretty close.
Yeah.
No handlebars.
Gravy guesses 90 miles. Anyone else?
69 miles.
I'm going to go 33.
Congratulations to Sean Gravy Gervin, the greatest distance cycled no hands by an Indian man. It's not our usual guy. I think
I was going to say, is it our usual guy?
He's from Pakistan, I think, right?
Muhammad, what's his face?
That's right.
151K, which is 94 miles. Very close.
Dang.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty great.
How many of them were uphill?
They're all in a parking lot. He just keeps going around. And
oh, come on, man.
Come on.
He just
this
quits
is another
when he's
one
bored.
Of those ice cream stacked freaking bike rides.
I got to tell you, there's this week when we're done, maybe you can go look or whatever, but we're on Guinness World Records on Instagram.
We are?
This is just a... No, we're not. That's what we're talking from.
Oh.
It's like, we got a feature.
I was like, all right.
They gave an award to the oldest human being on the planet, and let me tell you who has not been aware that they're even alive in 30 years, but got an award and does not have... It's Tomiko Ituoka, the world's oldest person. Can you guess how old the world's oldest person is to be certified by Guinness World Records?
420.
420. I don't like that you're not taking this seriously.
I mean, if I were to really guess, yeah, like
108.
108 says Brandon. What'd you say, Brandon?
133.
112 is. I adjusted my.
Brandon and Sean Gravy Gervin both guess 112. Siege guesses something unreal of 133. Might as well have said 420.
How is that unreal?
What's the longest someone's ever lived? The oldest living person right now at 116 years and 116 days. From Japan.
Wow.
Tomika Ituoka.
Make a wish.
It's like some tortoise.
That is like some... She does not look far off either with the no teeth and the withered mouth, so it's like...
While you're in Japan...
Just hand her leaves and avocado.
Absolutely.
You should go to that one restaurant where all the old people work, where they get your order wrong.
The dementia restaurant? I love that idea.
Yeah. That's awesome.
122 and 164 days is the oldest that anyone has ever lived. Thank you, Gravy. Appreciate that.
See, I was close. 133 is not that far off.
Largest feet on a living teenager. Very specific.
Ooh.
Male. Sorry. Very specific.
Male.
Male.
I want to know, how different is this record from largest feet on a dead teenager?
Yes. Oh, my God.
I was not in the running for it, but at age 14, I had size 14. Shaq was, 22?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with, 23.
I would say 24 to be a dick.
I don't know.
$1.
$1. This doesn't make sense to me because I don't understand size versus...
Is it European sizes?
Stoichiometry.
let's stoichiometry this.
34.30 centimeters is the largest feet on a living teenager. I mean, the shoe that he shows is incredible. 13.5 inches by Eric Kilburn Jr. It says you have to read the stupid Guinness World Records 2025 now to find out. How dare you? First of all, how dare you? It's out now, though, everybody. I guess it's the least we
can do. How many centimeters is it?
34.3 centimeters.
34.3
divided by 2.5
centimeters, 2 inches is 13.54.
I mean, this kid is Andre the Giant. I'll actually show you.
size. It comes out to U.S. size 2. Shut up.
This is wrong.
This is wrong.
So look, this is... What? I don't know if you guys can see that or not, but that's him next to just a normal human girl.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on, I'm waiting for it to... And then watch when they show him holding a can of ginger ale. It's Andre the Giant. I almost sent this to Dan Soder, who does a great Andre the Giant impersonation.
Yes, he does.
Because it's great. Size 19 shoes. Thank you, Gravy. That's...
Wow.
Shaq was 22 or 23.
But as a teenager?
But he's not a teenager.
No, but I'm living saying when he was teenager. At LSU. When he was at LSU.
But maybe it's like a current teenager. You can only hold the record.
You can only hold the record while you're a teenager.
Die or turn 20.
Age out.
Yeah.
Well, damn.
If you have the biggest shoe size of any living teenager male, it's kind of the same term limit as a Supreme Court justice.
Think of the hog on that guy. My God. Size 8. Hmm. You guys left me hanging there. That was real.
Like a giraffe. Like that giraffe.
I was thinking of the hog.
Fair.
I was. Which is problematic because he's a teenager.
No, I meant the pig that he owns.
He's 19.
Obviously.
That's fair. No, he just wears size 19. How old is he?
Oh, wait. Wait.
No, he is a teenager. I don't know how old he is. Okay, let's not worry about that.
Damn it. Somebody get his license.
Okay.
Did we talk about... Oh, no.
No, go ahead. It's fine.
No.
Wait, what?
Did we talk about the carrot army and the potato
We started...
Thing?
You started talking something.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you guys start watching week. It? I sent it to you guys. Did you guys watch
no.
it? Because no, within the last 2 weeks, when they hadn't put out any new content in a while, I talked about it on the show, and then within the last 2 weeks, there's a whole new... series that's being uploaded.
Obviously,
about the
they're listeners.
Re-uprising of the carrot gods, the old carrot gods. Or something. You guys should listen to it because it's actually amazing.
Well, thanks for listening, the old carrot gods. We appreciate you. Yeah, I guess it's time that we wrap this sucker up. Take a look at all the really brainy subjects that we covered this week, and try and figure out what it is exactly that we learned this week with our producer and friend Sean Gravy Gervin. This is a very heady show, and he's going to prove that now. Sean.
Hey, guys. I really missed you. I did.
Yeah, we missed you too, buddy.
Yeah.
Missed you too, Gravy.
Thank you.
Next time, let us be your counselor, though, because it would be way more fun.
Yeah. There's just too much crying involved. I don't think that's going to go over well.
No, it's great. I love it. I love making people
cry. It gets a little too real.
So does Brandon.
Yeah. Brandon, you will be performing dolphin weddings to make up for some insults about marriages that you performed earlier.
Dolphin weddings.
Ooh.
Just so you know.
Just know that Brandon lives in Spokane, so no same-sex dolphin weddings, okay?
I can ordain you as a Jedi. Ask me how. It happened before.
I can.
A Jedi dolphin.
I'll be a reference, okay?
Yeah.
Can I be your plus one to all these weddings?
I would love... You know how they do that at the zoos with, like, penguins and stuff? They're like, oh, little, you know, yeah. Cletus and Beatus are getting married today. And I feel like they should try to do that with dolphins. Like, if we're going to train these animals that should not be trained at these SeaWorlds and stuff like that, we're going to train them to do, like, flips and stuff. We should also train them to do, like, cool...
trad wife weddings.
Candies.
Candy. Train them to do candy.
Gravy.
Oh, see, you're going to be selling ads directly into your brain chips for Pandora Proxima Blood, just to make sure everybody stays around forever.
Yeah, great.
That's correct. I need my friends.
Hashtag protomodical.
50 million years from now. There you go. and we all learned that Gerg can't see color.
Miles Teller. Maybe you just can't see. Maybe it's because it's in miles and not kilometers.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Hey!
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.